Wait, stop. No,
Okay,
keep going. Keep
go.
going. You
Go.
can just edit this
All right.
out. No, wait. What episode is this?
Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Having the Ball podcast. I'm your host, Ziva.
And your co-host, Erica.
And today we're talking about season one, episode 10, Lucy is Jealous of Girl Singer, directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer. And many others. It was filmed November 16th, 1951. And all right, well, that's it. That's all we're talking about today. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get into the synopsis. Lucy gets a little bit bent out of shape when she reads a gossip column in the newspaper, and it's fueled greatly by Ethel. And so she thinks that Ricky is, you know, falling for this woman. So she goes in disguise to the Tropicana and spies on her husband, Ricky.
It kind of, the entire time, I was feeling a little bad because you kind of know the history between the two real life characters.
I wrote that in my notes. Yeah. I said, I wonder what it's like to play the episodes where she's jealous of other women's because of their actual history.
Yeah, because in reality, she would get a lot of newspaper clippings. I remember there was one where she spoke about in her autobiography where he was, you know, when he was in the military, he would be down in a place called 29 Palms, which is in
getting
the
milk from nurses.
Getting milk, yeah, in the Palm Springs area. And she was in LA, which back then, I don't think there was a lot of traffic, so the drive was doable, and he would not go home, and so she would get notices of him and his doings, you know, being in the same state as she was and not that far away. So I just wonder if it triggered any sort of anything having to relive that, or she was just a fabulous actress and just kind of divorced herself from that. And, you know, okay, so the
divorced
episode.
Before we get into the episode, can we talk about the fact that William Frawley's not in this episode?
Yeah, it's like one of a handful that
it's one of a few.
Yeah,
but I thought he only wasn't in them for
baseball reasons.
But I looked up the World Series, and they would have been done when they were filming because they filmed in November. Mm-hmm. And the last game was October 10th. So
where was Bill?
Where was he?
We need answers.
Does anyone know? Does anyone know why he wasn't there? Because I thought I knew why, and then I looked it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nerd, and it wasn't there. So now,
and now you feel incomplete.
I am.
There's something so missing.
I'll stay awake at night.
So although he is referenced when she does the stomping on the ground.
Yeah.
So it opens up with her vacuuming. Of course, that huge vacuum cleaner reminds you of that episode of the handy dandy vacuum cleaner, that big space looking thing. It looks really heavy.
Yes. So before, I meant to talk to you about this beforehand, but we can talk about it right now and everyone can hear it.
It's a little bit behind right the now. Scenes that we're
yeah,
doing
a little
here
bit behind the scenes.
Happened about the podcast.
When we started this, I talked to you about how I wanted to get more into facts and stuff about other things outside of just the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did research on these vacuum cleaners. Are you interested?
You know, you might think I'm joking. I'm actually interested.
You're
I love
actually
this stuff.
Interested.
I
okay.
love this stuff. Yeah.
She uses a Hoover upright electric sweeper in 1950 when she did an advertising campaign for them, which we can post on our Instagram.
I did have that. Yeah, I did see that.
But it's not the same one. It looks like what she's using is something else. It's like an Aerodyne vacuum. You can't buy the actual vacuum now. I looked it up because I thought maybe. But in the advertising for the new Hoover vacuum that she was, you know, trying to sell, it was $79.50. So today that would be $904.88 with 1,038% inflation.
Oh my God.
If you look up Hoover, obviously you wouldn't spend that much. You can spend between $139 to $299.
Yeah. Well, they were so brand new then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You also talked about the sales resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, she's not using a Hoover. She's using a Handy Dandy, which was a Westinghouse.
Another thing they pitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 1958, Desilu partnered with Westinghouse. So the one in the episode looks like a Westinghouse Model T51, something around that. I had to look that up because I couldn't find anything about it. You can buy a Westinghouse vacuum, very similar to the old vintage one, for about $130. So that's what I have.
And those are all handheld, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Even the, you know, the new ones today are still the sweep handheld vacuum, the upright one. So
vacuum facts with Ziva. Thank you.
You're welcome. You didn't know you needed to know. And now I did. You know,
It seriously looked like a space equipment.
Mm-hmm. It looked cool.
Very heavy, very cool, and very obviously made of steel of some kind.
Can you imagine dragging around that?
Yes.
To vacuum?
No, I cannot. And
you can't imagine.
I can't imagine, but I will not. And what's funny is that when she, again, it coincides with the beginning of the episode, is her walking in vacuuming and Ethel walks in to kind of get her attention. She tries to shush her, you know, like Ricky's sleeping, but this machine sounds like a, you know, like a tractor. So he's a very heavy sleeper.
I was like, either he's a heavy sleeper because they continue to yell over the vacuum cleaner as they talk.
Yeah.
Or he just finds the sound of a vacuum soothing. You know, like some people find fans or they put white noise something.
Yeah, so
maybe it's because he's stupid and he sleeps with a pillow over the top of his head. Now we'll talk about that when we get there. So anyways, we're still in.
This took a turn.
I don't understand. I was very like, who does that?
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. So we're going to talk about Ethel. Ethel obviously is hiding something, right? She's like, I've got something juicy. I'm just sitting on it.
See, and here's the thing. Usually Lucy and Ethel are very gossipy with each other about others, which is fine. It's your best girlfriend. You know, talk about the neighbor down the street. And she was being awfully sneaky and cold about it, with about her husband potentially having an affair or a girlfriend or something like that. So the way she went about it was, it just didn't feel right. You should run in there and cause a scene and say, did you see this? You know, perhaps, or take her aside or call her down to her apartment and show her. But it was very gossipy about her own business. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, just say what you have to say. Also, this is a question. I know they were curling their hair, but do they curl their hair while they're cleaning so that they can have it covered? Is that something to keep it clean? Because when you see like photos of housewives, you know, cleaning, they almost always have it wrapped up. And there's even that one episode where Fred is like, he does the same thing and he's like, I've got to keep the dust out of my hair.
There's no hair.
He's like, okay.
I don't know. It's I think they just always kept curlers for whatever occasion comes up later on.
Have you ever curled your hair
with like curlers? That? No,
curlers.
No, okay. No, I never have.
No, me neither.
Yeah, just an iron. But no, I just fry my hair. So she comes in very coy, or maybe not even too coy, just very obvious.
Not even coy.
No, no, very obvious. She had newspaper under her arm, in which there's an article there stating that, or questioning on under the Broadway, you know, snippets, what Cuban bandleader with the initials RR is making cat's eyes at his dancing mouse? There's more going on during that floor show than the script calls for. Dun, dun, dun. Mm. And so, of course, she's thinking, rightly so, that it's Ricky having a thing with his dancer.
Well, you know what? The thing is that at the beginning, she doesn't. It's Ethel that's like, you know, because she's like, oh, the, you know, the agent just put it in, and she's like, did he? And
yeah,
you know, like, yeah. And the same pushing. Thing that they have the quest, the same conversation, yeah. basically reversed later
yeah.
on, but
like, yeah, with Ricky. Yeah, and so
Ethel's really pushing a lot here. But before we move on, let's talk about the newspaper a little bit.
I thought you would.
You thought the headline. You thought I would.
Yeah, the one where it says here.
There's a few things. So there's that blooper mm-hmm. that I think you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Where there's the small print, and then in the very next shot, she's holding it, and the headline says here, very, very visible. So obviously, you know. Indicates that at one point she flipped it and they just didn't catch the continuity error there mm-hmm. But when she opens the paper, Lucy opens the paper, and the headline reads Churchill, Harry S. Truman, and it's abbreviated HST to confer here mm-hmm. So I couldn't find this exact newspaper article online, but it was a real newspaper. So I have a feeling it might have been a real article mm-hmm. On the front. And the paper that Ethel holds is the New York Daily Mirror, which could be confusing because there's also a British newspaper called the Daily Mirror that was founded by Alfred Harmsworth, later Lord Northcliffe, in 1903.
Excuse me.
Lord North. Yes. A small history lesson. I feel like I've been putting these into the last few ones. So that's if you guys okay. hate them,
this is the content know. We come for. We'll still no, keep doing is, it, yeah. but let me know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep doing it, but nah. Okay. So the New York Daily Mirror was an American morning tabloid newspaper. It was first published June 24th, 1924 in New York City, by William Rudolph Hearst, Hearst organization as a contrast to the mainstream broadsheets, the evening journal, New York America. It did pretty well, but then he sold the mirror to an associate in 1928, and then bought it back in 1932. Like I said, there's a lot went on with it. If you're interested in newspapers, man, this newspaper went through a whole big thing during the war. It became I think it did better. It was about 10% news and 90% entertainment. It was definitely a tabloid newspaper, and people read it just to blow off steam. They folded. October 16th, 1963, the Daily Mirror published its last issue. And then the Daily Mirror name rights were then acquired by the Daily News. So there's a lot more information. If you're interested, go look it up. But
yeah, the Hearst Corporation was big in the newspaper world because, I mean, even here in California, there's a Hearst Castle that's, it's not really a castle per se, like you would think royalty. It was just a huge, massive property up here in central California. And when you go to it, it's beyond exquisite. And back in the 30s, a lot of the huge actors of those days would, you know, it was like the place to go. And it was from this publishing company, the Hearst Company. And, you know, you got Errol Flynn and, you know, big names like that would party there. But yeah,
you know about newspapers too.
I do.
Or at least about the castle.
It's the castle. Yeah, it's beautiful there. Actually, there was I don't know if you listened to Lady Gaga, but there's a Lady Gaga video that was recorded there, and it's just beautiful. Okay. So wow. On to Lucy.
All right. So Ethel, I have a problem with her. We mentioned at the beginning of this, like, her being coy about it, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, she's like, oh, I'm not going to show it to you, you know, the newspaper. And you see she pushes it back. Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. And then she's the one who comes up with the tricky scheme, which is
I wrote that down. Yeah.
Wheelhouse.
Yes. This is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, might be the only time she does that.
No, because sometimes, Lucy will be like, how did you get so sneaky or something like that? Oh, yeah. And I'll be like, I got it. Hell, I learned from you. Yeah. Anyways, wow. Just like that.
Wow. It's like listening to a clip. So then, of course, she's up, you know, first is denying it. No, how dare you? Oh, that's just publicity. That's what they put in there just to entice, you know, interest into the club and things like that. Oh, and she's saying, okay, sure, if that's what you want to believe, you know, and she walks away real again. Doesn't feel very good. It's not something a friend would do. It's like a mean girl in high school would do.
But you know, she wants to see the drama.
Pleasure into your relationship deteriorating.
Like when Lucy gets a black eye and she's sitting there like just listening with wonder about how
mouth
she
open
wants it to be worse and more gruesome than Ethel leaves and Lucy decides, you know what, Ethel's right, and she goes and confronts. So she lifts up all the curtains, and when she's lifting up the curtains, I looked at the bed and I was like, he's not in bed, Ricky's not in bed. But lo and behold, he's sleeping on a pillow with another pillow on top of his head, like a sandwich, like a Ricky Ricardo sandwich. And the question is, why? Does anyone sleep like that?
Well, here's
do you sleep like that?
I do not sleep like that. That feels very...
I would feel like I'd be suffocating.
Right. Well, perhaps here's where we are going to rewrite the screenplay a little bit. Perhaps he heard all the ruckus going on, put the pillow over his head to kind of get some sleep.
Get to sleep, maybe.
And that's where he kind of ended up. But yeah, she lovingly tries to wake him up for a split second, just enough to get him, you know, alive and aware, and then really gives it to him with the newspaper because, yeah, she thinks something's going on at the club.
There's so when Lucy goes to wake up Lucy, there's a small, I don't know if you caught it, but there's a small little blooper. You can see a man's arm in a sport coat.
Oh, I did see that.
On the right side of
perhaps
the screen.
One of the you know, cameraman.
Maybe. Yeah. But Lucy was hitting him, and then Desi tells her to like calm down. Do you think that he was maybe a bit handsy with her?
Perhaps. Yeah. I had to take a moment
to going to like twist her arm behind her back.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it's just how it all played out. But that I was like,
And here's where I go again.
Hands off, please.
Here's where I go again to real life. Here's what I wonder. Okay. Now, these two people are actors. Lucille, of course, had a extensive history behind her before even doing the television show. So she's a veteran actress at this point. And Ricky Amir Desi is also an actor. But they are also have real life scenarios like this. I imagine, mm-hmm. you know, in my mind, I'm imagining that as often as this occurred in their real life, I wonder if she did behave like that towards him a lot, and he just knew how to calm her down, Desi and Lucille. And so it kind of, you know, translated onto the actors, into the characters. I may be reading into it too much, but I'm just wondering if a lot of those things did happen, just based on, if you read some of these autobiographies, their fights and their explosions got pretty heavy sometimes, that I wonder mm-hmm. if any of that was just natural, that he would just do that. And you and I are watching it as just audience, you know.
I feel like though, if someone touched me when I was angry, like say I was actually angry at my husband or someone, and like I was at the point where I was hitting them, if someone then like touched me to try to calm me down, I feel like that would make me even more angry. I feel like, get your hands off me. We're about to fight.
While
I'm obviously not a
screaming,
you know, 1950s woman.
Housewife. Yeah. Yeah. While screaming, calm down. That always works. Yeah.
Tell a woman to calm down.
Relax. Why are you acting crazy? We're all triggering a bunch of people. So of course,
Desi is like, you know what, it's nothing. They have the same conversation basically. Mm-hmm. This is like, all right. Desi goes to the Tropicana,
right? And so he convinces her it's just
It's just part of the
show.
Show, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the Tropicana, you see Marco Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the piano. Marco Rizzo. He was a Cuban pianist, composer, and arranger. Born November 30th, 1920. Died September 8th, 1998. I actually didn't get a whole lot of information on him.
Oh, he's been with Desi from the start. I mean, mm-hmm. Desi Arnaz Orchestra and on. So he was always... He's the one who always ends up calling him Desi accidentally and just sits left in the show because he says it in Spanish. So perhaps people don't pick up on it, but he calls him by his name a few times throughout the series.
Ricky starts the rehearsal. They start with El Compañero. I totally butchered that. Do you know what they started with?
The name of the song?
It comes up. Yeah, it comes up in Breaking the Lease.
Oh, El Cubanchero. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
What she said.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. It was perfect. And Ricky says, all right, the first fellow to act like he's playing in his sleep is going to get traded to Phil. Do you know the name of this person? Spitalny?
Mm-mm.
Phil Spitalny. He was a composer, conductor, and clarinist. He's born in Odessa, Russia. Which is now present day Ukraine. And actually, the way that he said that, a little bit sexist maybe, because he had a all women's band. Phil Spitalny was the conductor of an all women's band. So to say, like,
oh, I see. So the threat was
trade you to an all women's band when, you know, most of them, they're almost all men except for the harpist.
No, that's true. There is some, I mean, if you really want to get into sexism and misogyny, it's strong in this one. I mean, as soon as Rosemary walks in, the catcalling and the whistling is intense, just based on her outfit alone.
Rosemary a little bit?
Let's talk about Rosemary.
Okay.
Yeah, so she walks in, you know, like I said, dressed very, you know, scantily clad, as they say, for the 1950s. And she was played by Helen Silvers.
Mm-hmm.
And although some may report it was Silver, some is Silvers with S or no S, she made her screen debut with this episode. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, she appeared uncredited in two musicals, Castles in the Air and Stars and Stripes Forever. And of course, she's the lead dancer there in the Jezebel number, which we have to talk about that name, Jezebel. And also, you know, there were also four other dancers around her, but you know,
there were five.
They were, yes. And as I was looking for more Helen Silver's information, there was none. I mean, I looked high and low to credit her in something. And I,
this is what I found. Yeah. Like that, what you said, that is what I found.
Yeah,
I didn't really find a whole lot more. So
I'm guessing the career was not extensive, or our research was just not, you know,
maybe we're not good Google warriors, but it's all right.
So
Jezebel.
She asks if the dress is okay. And then of course Ricky says, yes, if we don't get raided. Of course.
Yeah.
So the Jezebel song, I mean, we know what Jezebel means, and it's very apropos for this episode, which is just like a woman who is, uses her feminine ways to lead men astray from their wives or partners or something like that. So that's really what Jezebel is. And that's what they dance to. That's what he sings.
It was recorded by Frankie Lane with Mitch Miller and his orchestra, April 1951, is released in Columbia Records, a division of CBS. And this record reached number 2 on the Billboard charts. You already talked about the title.
Yeah, it's a biblical reference.
Mm-hmm, to Jezebel.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And so, as he's trying to dance with her in rehearsal. By the way, a fast sidestep. The name of this episode is Lucy is Jealous of Girl Singer. this girl is not a singer. She's a dancer. And so they did toss around changing the name of the episode, but they never really stuck with it, nor did they change the grammatical error of that, of Lucy jealous of girl singer. What it feels like, it's a scribble on a napkin, you know, kind of a here's what we're doing next week, and just scribbled it, and someone assumed that that was the name of the episode, and it stuck, and here we are. Not. But there was not once did she sing. She danced. So he accidentally steps on her, on her, what do you call it? Lace blue jeans.
Blue jeans. Yeah. Why would he say, yeah, just put it in my coat pocket?
See,
I mean, that just doesn't seem smart.
Just to begin with,
be someone down there to be able to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he was just going to bring it home to have his wife fix it for his dancing partner.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
Although he made it worse with what he did. Ended up doing.
Yeah. So we're done with the trap. We're done there. We're the moving rehearsal. On. We're done with the rehearsal. There we go. And we're moving on. And we get home. And Lucy's made this, you know, chicken and rice.
Arroz spinach. Con pollo. Roll those R's.
Yes. Arroz con pollo.
There you go.
I used to be able to speak Spanish.
We'll get there.
Someday. We'll just do a podcast all in Spanish someday.
Perfect. Don't
say it.
Don't say it because I will say we'll start promoting it next week.
Oh no, next week. In 1 month. No. I guess Ricky's like, this is my favorite meal. This is what they make in job switching. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they try to make. But then there's a bit of continuity because then Ricky says that roast pig's his favorite. But I mean, time has passed, so maybe so has his
taste.
You know, I've had the same favorite food for my whole adult life, but change it up. Why don't you?
So she's making this because she feels bad about having accused him early that morning. And so
she thinks maybe she overreacted.
Right.
Which, you know, that's a big thing for Lucy.
To kind of give in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take off your sports jacket. Pretend you didn't sit in a park. He just made it worse. He's like, I was in a park. I was so distraught.
He could have just ate the food and all would have been well. But he had to
ham it up.
She says, oh, you didn't think about that at all. And he's like, no, in fact, I didn't even go to rehearsal. I went to a park and I spent the day feeding the pigeons and brooding. You mean you didn't go to rehearsal at all because you were so hurt? That's right. So what are you doing? You just messed it up. So now you put in her mind that you didn't go to rehearsal, and the next event that's about to happen kind of puts in her mind as to why.
Yeah. So yeah, so she finds the lace, and that's when she freaks out. She's like, all right,
this is Rosemary's
where were front. You yeah
blue jeans.
So this is one of the first times we hear Ricky say explain. I don't know that it is the first, but it's one of the first for explain.
Yeah, it's one of the early.
But he's not saying, Lucy, you got some splaining to do, which is quoted a lot. He's trying to explain what's going on, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I love, you know, he's like hem-hawing about what to say and doesn't say anything. And Lucy's like, oh, you're going to have to speak louder than that.
But she's so mad. She looks so angry. Yeah, she does.
And then, you know, he says what happens, and she's like, okay, I understand, and gets all sweet. And then it's like, I just have one more question for you, all sweet.
Where were you this afternoon? And see, women can sometimes do that.
Okay, I think she was tapping into that inner past that we talked about, like, just a little bit. Come out just
she gave him a false sense of security for a hot second, and then she just like,
okay
that's okay, yes. Honey, that's fine, but I just have you. One question, why the heck were you this afternoon? Yeah, He was with Rosemary's laced blue jeans. And of course, the writers, like we're talking about Splane, and the writers were always creating lines that made fun of his accent. But of course, the thing there was that Desi was very sensitive about his accent, and Lucille was the only one that was really, you know, okay, able to. Even though there are some times where Fred would throw in a thing or two, just, you know, to make it funny, but he meant no harm, but Lucy was really the only one allowed to make fun of that accent.
Right. So we're moving on. He leaves, but not before taking a piece of chicken. He leaves and goes down to the club, and Lucy says she'll be there. But Ethel, again, stirring the pot, is like, you know what?
Hold on. Where was Ethel? Ethel had her
ear
all up against the door, eavesdropping on every bit of the fight going on. And she falls on the ground.
I was like, no, I didn't hear anything.
How dare he rip some woman's lace blue jeans? So you didn't hear a thing.
Didn't hear a word.
And this is one of the earliest times where we see her just eating like it's going out of style.
My husband asked, he was like, are they trying to really push home the fact that she likes food? Because she just flips the whole plate. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was a big movement. Like, that's a lot of food.
Yeah, because it shows her purposely. The camera zooms in on her then going on the second plate, like the other person's plate. Oh, yeah. So, yeah,
She takes the one serving from the main dish, right? The main big, huge dish.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know what? This one serving will now be the serving dish, and I shall eat off of the serving dish. Because that's what she takes. That's the new thing. I'm just gonna sprinkle "I shall" in everything.
Shall. And so, like you said, then she comes up with the plot of going down there to see exactly what's going on. But first, you got to tell him that you're not going to show up because he might have something planned and be on his best behavior if he thinks you're coming down there.
So we get down there. And he's performing the Jezebel song, which I've only ever heard when he sings it, right?
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of the song Maria from The West Side Story.
Oh, okay.
You know what song I'm talking about? Yeah,
of course.
Maria. And he keeps saying Maria, Maria, Maria. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they repeat the same name over and over and over. And that's the one reason I don't like that song. It's beautiful. It's got beautiful, you know, I don't know, tone. But the lyrics, I get it. You met a girl named Maria. Move on with your life.
Oh my God. Well, don't worry. I don't think that musical is going anywhere. It's probably a flop. So let's move on. It's going nowhere. No remakes or anything coming up next year. But okay, go on.
I like the whole musical except that song. I'm like, you know. But anyways, when he kept saying Jezebel, I was like, I get it.
He repeats it over and over. Yes.
But so he's singing. Jezebel's doing this, you know. I'm not even going to pretend you don't want to see that if you don't post this. Or like, she's doing this sexy dance in the background for a while, and then like slinks her way up. It's like she's slinking, like, or slithering, like I'm here.
That's what Jezebels do that wear lace blue jeans.
So she comes up and they start dancing, and that's when the five women come in. Because of course Lucy's in
wig.
The wig, and this is where her physical comedy comes in.
I don't know scene.
How they kept a straight face, because I would just be
chasing her
up
around the top platform while she's trying to get And she's got her hands like this. She's got her hands on her hips and she's blocking her. And she, I can't. She had this straight look on her face, which is what makes her her. But it's just, it's, I'm sure the audience members and the band members were dying at this point because it was just comical to watch her try and block Jezebel. Rosemary.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So obviously, she gets all up in their business. But doesn't successfully ruin it. Kind of ruins it, but not successful and horribly ruining. So she then runs home. She's got the fastest quick change I've ever seen in my life. Like 2 seconds. I was opens like, was the door, wearing that door. Underneath?
Yeah.
Who knows? But she gets in bed. She pretends she was sleeping. what time is it?
I know. She's like rubbing her eyes. She's got a book on her chest. Yeah. She fell asleep reading a book.
And of course Ricky knew it was her, right? So he's going on and on about how there was this awful dancer.
She was so stuck her way in. She was the worst bad shape you've ever seen.
Didn't know any of the steps. And he's just like, wow. And you can see she's just like getting more insulted. And more hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes out in the wig, which I just think is so funny.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. And that, well, you know, that's not the end of it. They have a big, long kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Long kiss.
Yeah.
And they actually cut it.
Yeah, because it felt a little too long for the audiences
For the reruns, they were cut. And then in the DVD release, it's back to its longer
version of
full-blown kissing makeout session.
And so that to me, the best part was just, of course, her, you know, with her hips knocking Rosemary off and then blocking her. It is a great episode.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah
This also comes back at the end of Lucy Ball's pregnancy leave.
It was a flashback.
Yes Yeah, it has a small change where she's trying to lose her baby weight and they're playing cards and Fred sees an item in the column about a married band leader and Ricky says he's thankful Lucy's not the jealous type and Fred's like,
we beg to differ. You remember? Yes, we beg to differ.
And then they remember this. So
yeah,
that's pretty much the episode, but it was a fun. I liked this episode.
Yeah. And like we said, grammatically odd for it to be named Lucy is jealous of girl singer, which there is no singer. And it should be Lucy is jealous of a girl dancer, really.
A girl or just a girl.
Just a girl.
Or just Lucy is jealous. You know, there are so many other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Better. Let's write them. Go back in time. You are wrong.
You are wrong. Thank you very much.
Fix this.
Yeah, so this was fun. And so next week we have the drafted episode, which is also
another
fun.
Good one.
Yeah.
We get to see Milk.
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Not that kind of milk, guys. The actual milk.
No one was going there. Not a single soul went elsewhere.
I'm sure there was at least one soul. One soul was like, oh, I don't remember that. Risque.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, talking about risky, that line where Jesse was like, well, Ricky, obviously, was like, just ask the band leaders. They were all there. And
well, that must have been a comfortable,
cozy affair.
Yes, cozy situation. Yes. Yes, it's like they were all there to watch. And her eyes bulge out. Yeah, right. That was pretty funny.
That's a bit risky.
Yeah, I forgot about that line. Yeah.
Ooh.
That was fun. Well, thank you guys for joining us because I think we forgot we were recording. This was fun. Find us everywhere on Having a Ball Podcast, everywhere. Just exist. And email is havingaballpod@gmail. We're discussing, what was this? Well, right now we're discussing the trailer of the movie coming out. And also we've been discussing the Let's Talk to Lucy podcast reviews. And the next one is Vivian Vance. So that should be fun.
Mm-hmm. we'll talk about her. Yeah. All right. It was great talking to everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.